Blog Talk Radio.
Technical difficulties out there. Killer Bees Barbecue coming to you from Evans, Georgia, home of the Papa Joe's Banjo BBQ, a $40,000 purse, 1 mile from my house. Love it in my backyard. Great event, great entertainment, great people, and a great venue. Ask anybody who comes. You've got your Tuffy, your Rod Graves, your Johnny Triggs, Bunch and Hogs at the Hilton, Cereal Griller, Chatham Artillery, Lang Smokers, Tillman and Grill, Blue Buds, Pork Barrel Barbecue, you name it, they've been here. And they'll tell you, it's a class act up there. They really take care of the cookers and everything. Hope you can join us this year on that Memorial Day weekend. First up, I want to thank some of my sponsors. First of all, I want to thank Butcher Barbecue, David Buska, who's going to be on the radio show here. He's already called in. He's waiting on the other line. Can't wait to hear what he has to say. I want to thank Royal Oak Charcoal for sponsoring us, Mike Shore. We appreciate it very much. Also, Phoenix Printing with Joey Haddon down there. Got my banner last Friday night at 10:30 to meet me down at a shop. That's service right there, people. Also, I want to thank WikiQ, Jeff Campbell. He took reserve grand at the contest this weekend. Congrats to him. And if you haven't tried any of your sauces or his rubs, you need to try them. They're competition grade. Also, I would like to thank Southern Q Smokers and Fireside Outdoor Grills. Southern Q Smokers has really supported us last year. They built a quality pit the first time we went out and cooked on it, did very well on it. And they got a new stretch model. A lot of people loving it. Sold 3 of them this week, myself. So really looking forward to getting those on the market and getting going. So, but want to congratulate a few teams. Rub Bagby for winning the Sam's Club. The man is on fire, people. Look out. I want to congratulate True Bud Barbecue for getting $2,000 in 2 days. Congrats to Tim and that crew out there. Really good job. And I think that's about it as far as contests this past weekend. But anyway, with no further ado, I'm going to get David Busk on here. We're going to find out this big, exciting news about what's happening to the barbecue world. It's going to change the way these competitions are going to be settled. Don't you think, David?
I like the way you say that.
So how you been doing? You were on the show back a few weeks ago, and we talked, and I'm going to get you to make an announcement on something. It's something that I've been practicing with the last few weeks, and it's nice to have a sponsor that comes out with almost like a new revelation in barbecue. And I got several people waiting to find out what it was, number one. Number two, they wanted to find out a little bit more about your rubs and your sauces and your injections and everything. So you got a full table tonight. So let's talk about, I know you posted something out there on Facebook on either Friday or Saturday night, and I just want you to go through it. I know from firsthand experience that what he says it does, it does. And that's all I can say. I mean, I'm highly impressed with what this new product will do.
Well, thank you, Jim. What we have is a new product. It's the first time we've ever launched four new items at one time. It's one base item, the same, but there's four different flavors. Generally, we've never been able to do that. We're a small operator compared to the Tones of the world and the Durky Spice Worlds and all that. So we don't have the great big deep pockets that they have. So to release four products at one time is pretty expensive. But what we've done is we've got a chicken injection. A lot of people are not hip or understand how to inject chicken, or why would I want to inject chicken, or what is the, is how can I say, the best reason to inject when I can brine it and do just as good. Well, brining, soaking, whatever you want to call it, you know, if you go over 2 or 3 hours, your salt mixture, it can really make your product salty. You got to be real careful with that. You have to rinse it off. You have to have something, number one, to soak it in. So it can get messy to start with. It's not exactly exact science. You don't get the exact same flavor every single time. All that being said, injecting chicken's really simple. It's easier than injecting any other piece of meat. You take our injection, by the way, let's start out with the name. It's Bird Booster, okay? So if I say booster, that's what I'm talking about. It's Bird Booster is the product's name. We've got the original, which is our, I'm not going to say plain, because to me that sounds real plain. The original is our unflavored as far as spices. It's got the original is our chicken-based product, and then we have a chipotle one, which is our chicken base with a chipotle flavor. We have a honey one and an herb one. We had another one we were going to come out with at the same time, but about 3 weeks ago we pulled it. We couldn't get everything exactly the way we wanted it. We thought we was getting the samples we got from the supplier didn't come in that way, so we pulled it completely. I didn't want to put out a product I didn't like. All that being said, how to inject chicken is real simple. It's just fill your syringe. And you cannot, it's like the money muscle of a pork butt. You can't put it in one spot and just squeeze. You will fill up an injection pocket in a piece of chicken. It's, take a thigh or a drumstick. It's many, many multiple muscles runs up and down that bone. So you have to move it around as you're injecting. You can hit both sides, all sides. It makes no difference. I had six, you were one of them. I had six or seven guys that were doing some testing from different parts of the country so I can get flavors from them. Everybody had different type cookers, so I had different types of cookers being used with it. Some of the most uniform things that I got back from them was the flavor. It was a very natural chicken flavor. It wasn't overpowering. It didn't make you think, wow, that's chicken bouillon. You know, it's chicken stock. It's just a natural chicken flavor is what you get out of it.
It came across to me as being like a real nice, clean chicken flavor. Not salty, not gummy, not anything. Just a real straight chicken, clean chicken flavor.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we got a lot of. And then the next one was obviously exactly what it's supposed to do. Moist, the juiciness of the chicken. they were blown away with what it did. Had a couple guys that had sent some stuff back that was like, you got to be kidding me. Did I put too much in it? You tell me. And they, no, it was, we just couldn't believe the amount of juice that was in there. Tell me your story.
Well, when I injected it, and I was going to go into the way to inject it, I took my skin off and injected it, like you said, from both sides and everything, and put my skin back on it because I didn't know if that would do anything down the road, you know, with the skin or anything, so I was just playing it safe. But I took a small needle, injected, probably, if you look at the bone on each side of the thigh is what I used, I probably put at least 5 or 6 little needle holes on each side and just did a little, but I'm going to tell you what, like it expanded the chicken, like it blew it up, and then we had some, you know, some residue come out of it, which was fine, and because then we know it's full, and I put skin back on it. No, actually, I'll tell you what, I did not put skin back on it. I put my thighs in a Ziploc bag and poured the remainder of it over it. Now, normally I know you want to get a good soak on it, but I got about a 2.5-hour soak on it before I cooked this chicken. And when I bit into that first thigh, I did my normal seasoning, normal everything on it, normal process of cooking it. And literally when my wife was there, I said, I'm going to try this first piece of chicken and see how it does. When I've been into it, it had juice running down my chin. Never have I ever had that after a cook like that. And I'm going to tell you, it's, you know, for people who overcook their chicken a little bit, you don't have to worry about that anymore because this will retain the moisture in the chicken. It's really, I've told you before, it's pretty phenomenal what it did to the chicken that I had. So I think I had just the regular chicken flavor. But I'm going to tell you what, it's just a real nice, clean chicken flavor on that. I mean, it wasn't overpowering, but it you could really tell that it was chicken. And I really liked it. It really, really impressed me.
That's the exact story we've been hearing. Great story, too. I'm going to go over a little bit of what we did actually on testing. What we did, how I tested this product was all my weight, volume of weight. I took chicken thighs and I weighed them out. I got the exact weight prior to doing anything to them. We did the basic soak brine world. We mixed it up. We did 1 hour and I'd pull them out and I'd weigh it, put them back in. 2 hours, do it again. 3, 4 hours. And since I knew 4 hours is a standard stop at this point, I said, okay, let's keep going. I did 5 hours. I did 6 hours. At that point, it was getting close to the nighttime, and we was weighing them at every interval, and I just left them in the brine. I said, let's let it soak overnight. So I did that, weighed it the next morning, okay? The average weight, I did 3 sets of those. The average weight gained between 6.5 and 7.5 ounces per package or per batch. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sorry, I said that wrong. 6.5 to 7.5% gain in weight. Okay? So that's about average. That really is. And they had that at about the 3 hour time frame. The 4 hours, it didn't change much. Even overnight, it didn't change any more than that. That's all they got out of brining, okay, soaking and brining. So we then, at the same time frame, we took we did 3 batches of the injection, the bird booster. I did the same thing. I weighed them prior to doing anything. We injected them. I weighed them in 1 hour, weighed them in 2, weighed them in 3, 4, all the way up to 6, and did the same thing all the way overnight. The same thing I found with this as I did with that. In 2 hours, they had all the weight gain is exactly what I had at the end of the overnight. They had gained 22% volume in water. That is huge. If you take a 0.5-pound thigh and add 0.25% more weight, which is nothing but flavor and juiciness, that is going to be virtually impossible to cook out unless you're cooking at 700 degrees for 45 hours, okay? I mean, let's be real. You just,
that's what impressed me, was it retained that moisture. It didn't like it just like, you know, cooked out of it. It stayed in the meat, and I was highly impressed with that.
And what I did after the overnight, I said, okay, I don't really have a way to emulate every way of cooking them, every type of cooker, every scenario that you can use to cook chicken. So what I did, I took every bit of the chicken thighs and I put them on full sheet pans, on raised cookie sheet, like they're beef jerky racks, but they're raised racks on top of the sheet trays, and I put them all back in my cooler, and I'm going to let them start drying. See how much purges out, how much seeps out of the product. And credit to both styles, neither one of them lost less than 0.5% off of either one. So I would honestly, out of both styles, I'd attribute that to surface moisture. They just dried on the surface, and that was all that was lost. And I let them set for 2 hours in my cooler and then weighed them. So they had all full opportunity for anything to be lost, and neither one of them lost. It was minor. It really was fractions. So if it can hold 22% moisture, flavor, that will change the chicken world. You'll be allowed to cook to a higher temperature to get more tenderness and still keep your chicken juicy. Go ahead.
That's a big problem because, like I said, you know, some people cook hot and fast, and their big deal is, you know, there's a fine line in there when it's just juicy enough and it'll dry out, you know, within a couple minutes, sitting that hot and fast. The other quick question I had for you was, have you tried it on breast? What, you know, the big thing is you can really impress judges if you can get that breast meat real nice and juicy and sliced and everything. Have you tried it on breast yet, or what parts of chicken have you tried it on so far?
Oh, yeah, I've done it on breast, I've done it on thighs, I've done it on whole chickens. We've done it on everything but the chicken backs. And I'm not sure it wouldn't even work on liver, but anyway, that's beside the point. But on the breast, I personally kind of like the herb on the breast. I just like that flavor with the white meat. I think the white meat accepts that flavor really, really well. But yeah, on the breast, you can follow the same exact procedures. I personally think that 3 or 4 hours is all that's needed with that, with the breast. But I have done it overnight and didn't see any difference in that. So, yeah, I absolutely have done it on white meat.
Well, that helps, too, with your time, too, because, like I said, you can pull it out the morning of the cook. You don't have to do it the night before or anything. Still get pretty much the same result. So, you know. That's another good thing about it. You don't have to let it sit 24 hours.
No, you don't have to let it sit 24 hours. And it only takes a quarter cup of the bird booster to 2 cups of water. That'll do approximately 16 to 20 thighs. Okay? Just straight injecting, nothing left over. But that'll inject 16 to 20 thighs. If you want to pour some over, like what you did, and say you're going to cook a dozen thighs, that'll be right at the top of it where you'll have something to pour back over in a Ziploc bag or something like that.
Right.
So one bag will do anywhere from 65 to 80 to 90 thighs. I mean, if you're just looking in the competition world, it'll do a lot. And I forget exactly, I don't have a label right in front of me, how many pounds of chicken that a bag will do. So one bag will go a long ways. So it is pretty powerful, but the flavors are mild enough to where you won't taste it like what you do with some stuff. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't taste like, oh, Campbell's chicken soup in your mouth.
Right. That's that real frothy stuff that you can get almost like it's just straight broth, you know, with the fat and everything in it. Like I said, it really impressed me how clean it was. It was just real, it's kind of hard to explain until you use it, but, you know, when you get that perfect baked chicken or whatever, and it's just got a really nice, smooth chicken flavor, I mean, that's pretty much what you're getting in this. But, you know, you're getting into competition chicken, plus the moisture aspect of it. Yeah, like I said, I'm gonna tell you, but I was highly impressed. I was telling David, just hold off till next year. Let's do some more studies on this. But he wanted to go ahead and change the barbecue world this year.
And I think I know what you're meaning. Let's just keep that between us. Is that what you wanted to say?
He's looking at product research on this. Let's keep it under our hat for a little while longer, and at least mid-summer, you know. Because it's going to really help even the cooks that, I know a few people at Brine and everything, and they're going to be coming on here asking you, what the difference is and what the difference between your injections compared to other injections and all that stuff. I had several people ask me that. And I said, well, I'm going to have David on the show in a week or two or, 3 weeks ago. And I said, I can't explain what he does to a certain degree. I can, but, the whole process of everything, it's kind of like I'd rather hear it from the person who invents this stuff, why he did it, and, how all this interacts differently from, maybe some of the other injections on the market and everything. But all I can say is, the results are there. We've done very well with Butcher Barbecue products, and I had gotten away from them. I will admit, I'd gotten away from them. Was doing some other injections and stuff. And that was kind of up and down. And as soon as I went back to Butcher injections, people say, well, I like this one better. I like that one. But for me, the rub that you have and the injections you have really upped my game. And just for instance, I had we did the Gust of Wine and Swine this past week at an SPN event, had pork and ribs on it. And I took one of my employees up to the shop. And it was a rainy day on Wednesday, and I gave him a little class on the pork and the ribs, using nothing but Butcher Barbecue products. And I'm going to tell you, his first contest ever, he was on the pellet smoker, first contest ever, I mean, we had the likes of Lang, Wicked Q, we had Wayland's Wickedly Good Q, Palmetto Smokehouse, Backwoods, Ultimate Tailgater. We had a host of really, really good teams down there. And not only did he win the backyard, swept the backyard categories, two firsts and the grand, he actually swept the whole field, pros included. First time ever using your products. And
that's the good stories right there. That's just awesome.
And he is hooked. He called me up yesterday. I'm looking online. Which one can I do now? whoa, man. I said, it's a very interesting fact. Bob Roberts from Tillman Grill is a very good friend of mine, and we were talking about it, and he said, he can get to the jack in the backyard if he can win some backyard competition in South Carolina, North Carolina, even Georgia. And he said, you may want to hold his reins back a little bit, let him try for that. And I was trying to explain to him the nostalgia of the jack. Probably not the greatest in the world, but it's the nostalgia of just being at the jack. And I said, for you, we're going to concentrate on that.
Well, Jim, you said this guy was working for you?
Yeah, he works for me.
Okay, so you paid his salary to kick your butts, what you're saying.
But I didn't say I'm the rocket scientist,
Let me get through this here real quick. This is going to be pretty interesting. It cost you how much in salary, your time, his time, and you gave him a rib and pork butt recipe, style, combo, all that good stuff. Hey, it's just me and you right here on the phone. Why don't you go ahead and tell me what you did? Huh? Where are we going here, buddy? Friend? It's just me. You go ahead and tell me. Spit your guts out.
It's your product. You figure it out. The products that we did use, we used the pork injection. We used your sauce. We used the honey rub. We used the prime rub. And
got it. I understand it, Finn. No problem.
That's it. That's all you need to win the competition. And, but, since I've become a retailer, like I told you earlier, I said, man, it's been flying off. And I will admit, we won grand in the pro division, and he beat me. We swept the Killer Bees stable, swept the SBN event this past weekend.
Cool. And, congratulations.
This guy was so tired, so happy. His little kid was there with him the whole time. His little kid slept with that grand trophy with him that night in bed. And that's the kind of stories that you want to hear. You know, it's just, you know, he called me up the next day. He'd gotten some sleep. And he said, man, I'm just really enjoying this. And you know, he's hooked. And I said, that's all it takes. Now, don't get me wrong. He's got a pretty good barbecue background. I knew he could take, you know, the backyard. I didn't know he'd take the whole damn field, but, you know. But anyway, so I've been catching a little bit of crap about all that. And I said, well, there's two things. Either I'm just one hell of a teacher or he's one hell of a listener or all the above.
There you go.
And we pretty much did, you know, the exact same thing on him. But this is the consistency of your product though, David, is we did exactly the same thing on these things. And I cooked on my TNT, which is a gravity-fed smoker, and he cooked on a Memphis pellet smoker. And you see how close those flavor profiles were no matter what smoker you cook on. You know,
that's cool,
two different cooking types of cookers. And for us to have the results that we had down there is just a testament of the quality of product that you put out that's available to teams. And I don't know why more teams are not using them. Hopefully after this they will, but you know, that gets me a start on, we were 2012 Team of the Year in the SBN, and it was mainly because of Butcher Barbecue. And the last three SBN events we've done, which has brought to my attention, we have won grand. And there was only one competition. I was 1 point away from sweeping all three of those competitions. So we swept the last two, and it just shows testament to the quality of product that you put out there, the consistency, and you know, it's I can't say enough about it. It's, you know, people say, oh, you're just doing that because he sponsors you. If your products weren't that good, I wouldn't want you to sponsor me. If I didn't consistently use your products, I don't want your sponsorship, you know. But people that sponsor me, I use their products in my competition. And I'm going to tell you what, man, it really upped my game. It really has.
Well, thanks, bud. That's good. That's what it's there for, is to help equalize out the field as far as letting people that utilize it or use it properly, that have good meat to start with and can cook, they can concentrate on their cooking and not have to worry so much about all the smaller details. And that's one thing this is going to do with chicken. I am not sure if I can get to this or not. But I have a deal on my phone.
Wait, look, I'm going to come up with something else. The SBN supplied the meat for us. So I'm not going to say what brand of ribs or what brand of butts we had, but the butts had no money muscle on whatsoever. But everybody was given the same criteria. The quality of the meat was not what we're used to in the pork butts, and the ribs were kind of thin. So that's what we were dealing with. But when it was all said and done, these scores, they were you know, decently close, but they were high. And I'm thinking, you know what, if we had better quality meat, we'd cook our own meat and do a comp like that, I don't know what we could have done. He was he was about a half a point away from a perfect score in ribs.
Wow, that's really good, yeah.
I mean, that's how close he was in ribs. And I was only 700th of a point behind him, but.
Yeah. And here's a saying that I always went by with in the business. And coming out with a product, I do the same thing. And when I've opened up my business, this is something that I used. It is, what weakness does it strengthen, and how many people have that weakness? So if you're going to use or come out with a product, but if you're going to come out with a product or you want to come out with a product, ask that question. What weakness does it strengthen for everybody? Will you sell it, basically? What weakness will it strengthen, and how many people have that weakness? If you can't answer both of those, then you need to look at what you're trying to come out with.
Right. That's a really good philosophy. Like I said, everybody from time to time, that's trouble. And it's, it, run some different grades of chicken, you know, different wheats or whatever. You know, a lot of it, I think, has to do, it depends on how the chicken was raised and all that, and where it was fed, and, you know, the whole life. But, you know, everybody in barbecue has experienced dry chicken more than once. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. For you to come out with a product like this, it was pretty revolutionary. You know, you got your chicken soaks, you got your briners out there, you got all this. But, you know, with this product that you have, it's just inject, set, and, you know, fire up whatever you're cooking with it. You know, you don't have to go through all the mess. And like I said, it's a really, really good product. I'd really like to try some of that Chipotle flavor you have out there. I'm sure that'd be really good on, like, the dark meat between the legs and the thighs or whatever. And, you know, coming out with four different products like that, it gives teams, you know, different choices to choose for their flavor profile. And depending on what glazes they use or other rubs they use, you know, they can match it up with what you've got coming out. And, you know, that's a really good thing to happen.
Yeah, and I think I came out with it at the right time. Honestly, we were trying to come out with it about the 1st of January. And just due to labeling, and the chicken base is the most important thing. And I can't say I was struggling with, but I liked what I had back in August, September. And we had to get contracts signed with that company. And it sounds nuts, but they changed the way that they process this product, and they weren't sure how much they were going to be able to process through the year. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to start something that I can't have guaranteed forever. And
right.
And what they ended up, what they were doing, they were changing their machinery of how this stuff is rendered out and dried for us, or not us, but the public. And I wanted to see that product coming off those new machines before I went, pardon the pun, but went to bed with them.
Right.
So we waited, and they got the machinery in, and they was up and running, and we got, oh, I'd love to say we got the first batch, but I know better than that. We got a batch as a few weeks later, a couple weeks later, and it came out, and it was just as good. So I was happy to be able to keep going with what we had already played with. But there was just, I really wanted this to be out in January. It gave people a little more time to cook with before the season kicks off hard, but it just couldn't happen. So, okay, it is what it is, but I got it out now, and I'm excited about it. And it can be found on my website. We took pre-orders from our stores. I sent to all stores I have 3 or 4 weeks ago an email. And a lot of them placed orders. They should have gotten it today. If they don't, they'll get it tomorrow. But so check all the retailers that retail our product. They'll have it. That's the best way I can talk about that is go to the retailers or visit my site. Either way, it doesn't matter to me where you get it.
Well, I'll be carrying it, too, at some of these competitions that I go to. So if, you know, people want really, truthfully, any of the butcher products, you know, we'll be selling out of our trailer at these contests. We'll have what you need to do the comp in some. So, you know, we'll be, that's kind of like a traveling store. You won't have
there
to
go
over and dig out from, and, you know, lock and load and get ready for it. And, you know,
will you sell it to them before the contest or after the contest?
It depends on who they are. A few hours and stuff. You know, we'll see. I said that it might be double the price before the contest, but, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was, like I said, it was kind of funny because it was, you know, I was telling people, you know, they've got a product they want to know, and you said something out there about a bird boost, and they're calling me up and wanting to know. I said, look, I said, they want to wait for the right time to where he gets everything labeled and packaged, and I said, I had him come back on the show, and we'll talk about what he's got. I said, I know what he's got. I said, but y'all don't. And I said, I told him I wasn't going to say nothing. I was really true. I didn't want to say nothing until around July 4th, say, you know. But anyways, but, you know, we're getting it out there. We're on the airwaves. Like I said, it's going to be on your Facebook page, websites, and all that, and it's retailers and stuff. So I mean, it's a really good product to have, and I think you told me about it last fall or November or sometime.
Yep.
When we talked, you said, "I've got something I want you to try." See what, because we've got different cookers and stuff, and you want to see how it reacted with different types of smoke or wood or pellets or whatever. And I did two cooks on. I did one on my Southern Q smoker, my gravity fed, and I did one on my Memphis pellet, and got the same results. I even tried to, when I put my chicken up on the upper rack on the pellet, it has a tendency to dry the skin out a little bit up top, which really renders the fat out. And that's usually when my chicken dries out. And you know what? It never dried out. I mean, it really didn't. I cooked it at 205 degrees internal temperature just to see what it would do. And the moisture was still there. And it just, like I said, it impressed me. And, I'm kind of new to this sport. I've been in it, about a little over 2 years, and we've come a long way. We've taken a few really good classes, a lot of friends that and tough competitors. And, but we tried a lot of different things in the off season. And like you said, this year, we're in the same boat, because you were saying you've done more practice cooks on stuff this off season than you ever have. And so have we. We did well, and you think, well, he'll tone back. Well, I kept cooking. We've got a sandwich shop that we cook the pork and brisket for, and I was trying different combinations and everything. And, we've had really good results with what the products that you put out. And, it's just, and her customers reap the benefits from it. So sometimes we use them as guinea pigs, but, you got to have some lab rats somewhere. But, just get either quantity of the food or the quality of the food, use the products, and, looking for your moisture content, the pork butts, your smoke rings, the whole nine yards, and they've all been there. And the cookers react really well with your spices and rubs and your injections and everything. And, our contest scores show it. We've been scoring some of the highest in SPN lately. So, it's just a godsend that you're one of our sponsors, because, like I said, it's been a great pairing for us, pair with Butcher Barbecue, and hopefully spread the word around here, because South Carolina Barbecue Association, SPN, kind of off on this side of the world, and a lot of guys get focused in on one or two local guys doing the rubs and stuff, and I'm like, look, man, y'all need to branch out a little bit and, start trying some of these other products, because they may work better with what you're trying to do.
Well, I'm honored to be a part with you in that. Thanks a lot. I don't know how else to say it, but I really appreciate you.
Well, like I said, I don't know if I'm the only lab rat over here. I know. I think Rub uses your product, and he's been blistering up the field lately. I was trying to get him to come on tonight. He had a little family night thing to do, but he's probably the hottest team in barbecue right now. True Bud just took two grands this past weekend, which is to say the least phenomenal. But we got some other people that want to know even about your other products and stuff. And your injections and stuff, a lot of people say, well, what's the difference between yours and say Fab or Cosmos or whatever? I guess in your opinion, I know there's no clear cut answer to that. But they're trying to figure out one from another, and I like yours, and I've used Cosmos before, and it gave me decent results, but I don't know if it's just with the rubs I'm using on the meat that yours reacts better to it or whatever. But what is, in your opinion, what is, if any, difference in between them? I know you went through great care in picking out certain ingredients that go into your injections and stuff.
I'd say let's start with a scenario of ketchup. You can walk up to the shelf in a grocery store and you're going to have 14 different types of ketchup. You're going to have your high-end, your low-end, your middle-end, and your private label, all those different ones for it. And each one of them has their place on the shelf. Each one of them sell. Each one of them has their end use, and they like that one best. Other than that, you can get real detailed with the product. I don't like this one because of this. I like this one better because of that. You know, that goes both ways. Everybody's in business. I pride myself on being able to say that I've developed my own. I pride myself on being able to say that I do have personal contact with the vendors. I do know all those people. I know what goes in mine. I understand why it works, how it works, where we get it, all that stuff. I don't know if anybody else can, and that's not my business. My business is taking care of mine.
Right.
So I do know you will get a very consistent product from mine every single time, and I don't know that about them. I'm not saying that they are or aren't. I can't comment on that, but I will say that I'm very well. I can't say that. Those guys and gals are as proud of their product as I am mine. All I can say is you're just going to have to try theirs, try mine. Work it in with your rubs, work it with your sauce, work it with your wood. You're going to have to cook a lot of meat to determine which one's best for your system to cook them. Is it price that deals you there? Price ain't always the best. Is it the quality, the size of the bag? Those are all minor things. It all boils down to, does it get your meat where you want it, and does it work every single time? That's your best answer, in my opinion. So is what makes mine different than theirs? Oh, gosh, we can talk about the color of the bag, the color of the product, the consistency, the thickness, the thinness. I mean, there's just so many different things that makes mine different than theirs. But does it make it better? Better is a matter of choice. Of course, I think it's better. Of course, you think it's better. You're using it. But each individual person is their own. So it's kind of open-ended and kind of a chicken crap way to get out of an answer, but it's fact.
Well, I mean, I think it also depends on what's your outside flavor going to be, if it matches with the inside flavor. Like you said, it all has to do with the performance of the product, you know, week in and week out. And if you get the same results, then you know what to expect, you know. So, and that's what's really gotten us is, you know, we started back using our pork. I mean, I don't think we placed out a pork last 12 contests out of the top five, top 10 easy. But, you know, it's just a phenomenal thing that where you can have a run like that. And, you know, really truthfully, I switched my injections in one rub on the butts. And, I mean, that's what we've been getting. And we've been hitting every time in SBN and, you know, KCBS. We've been doing very well in butts lately. Fat cook at KCBS since November, but I'm ready to get back at it and you know, get back up on that horse. But it's still gonna be 2 months before I got a KCBS event. So, but you know, I'm itching to get out there and get competing. I know a lot of teams are kind of in off season still, and they're itching to get out. And I don't know when you start your. I think you've already had one this year. I think you won the first one of the actually. And I know you're itching to get back out there and start working on this new product and see how really ultimately you just have to please six judges.
Well, I've cooked with this product since about August of last year, late August, mid-September. I cooked some contests back then with it, and I really liked it. And then in late September, October, the last three contests in my chicken was completely with this product. So they were all right here. So I mean, I didn't have a problem with what the flavors were going to be. I mean, I knew what it was going to do all the way through releasing it this last week. And that's important. Yeah, cooking it with yourself is important. But like I said, I sent it to all over, from coast to coast, to local, to other guys. I passed it around. I let other people try it. And I took honest feedback. And just like I told you, I wanted negatives. I know it's going to be juicy. I know the flavor is going to be. I want to know what you didn't like about it. I wanted to know. And I I hate to say this, but I didn't get a lot of that. I wanted honest feedback. Don't tell me it's perfect. Don't change nothing. Well, there's nothing perfect. I always felt something could be tweaked in it. And we tweak this, we tweak that. So I think the flavors were there, but when I was talking to these folks, when they were helping me with it, I wanted to know the facts about it. How is this happening? How is this? How did it blend? How did this? And some of the things I came up with that is natural to me, people didn't know how to inject chicken. One of them that tested with me put it on one side of the thigh and just squeezed it and filled it up. Wow, I never even thought of that. Because to me, I understood how to do it. So there was some, I'm not going to say elementary, but some stuff that I've talked about with pork butts and everything else that applies over to it. So we're already in the process of getting a chicken video made so that we can get that out there to explain to people on how to do this.
Well, that was my next question was, you know, nobody's really, I mean, I know some teams might have injected chicken before, but to get the best performance out of this product, my next question would be, when are you going to show like a video of actually a how-to video, especially for new teams, of how to inject the chicken and all that to get the maximum performance out of this product? And, you know, like I said, I know what I had really enhanced the flavor. Maybe one day I'll get some of the other flavors to try them and, you know, and get rock and roll on them and do some more test cooks and stuff. But, you know, it's like with my Southern Q smoker sponsor, Tim and Scott. You know, they build these smokers. They said that they got a couple of us that we go out and compete on these. They said, now we want to know what you think that needs to be done to these to make these things better.
Yeah.
You know, and that shows that, like you, that shows that the people who invent it or build it or, you know, make it are really interested in, you know, and they all cook too, which is really good. And, you know, they want to know what they can change because they want to build the best smoker they can. That's, you know, ease of operation, you know, get the best smoke out of it, the best airflow, you know, the best performance out of your charcoal or wood or whatever you're using. And you know, we've given them a couple of sponsors, and they're going to change a few little things on it. And they're like, well, yeah, that is a good idea. So when you get more people in on this, you know, they may have found something that you didn't even think of. And so that's why that you're out doing this product research and everything with different teams and different areas of the country, so to speak, to kind of get an overall view of what to expect and if there's anything need to be changed or anything that somebody didn't like. You know, all that feedback is very critical to y'all, and it's good to be honest about it. We know, you know, we all like to be critiqued. Some people don't want to give negative, but, you know, if it's there, you got to tell them, you got to give them an honest answer. It's not going to get better.
Well, consider it like the TV shows, you know, when those guys get the honest answer, man, it's like, wow, they stand blank-faced. But were they realistic to their self going in? Was it that bad or was it that good? Or had they been fooling themselves the whole time? You know, that's the question.
It's kind of like American Idol on the first thing. Who told you could sing? I mean, really, people, what are you even doing in there? Yeah, because they didn't get an honest answer from somebody, you know, or several people or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, and then they get in there and they get crushed. Well, you know, you go in with that mindset, like, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with this and all this. Well, you just set yourself up for failure. You know, but if you go into it, try to get honest answers, you know, if there's something you don't like, maybe we can change, maybe we can't, maybe you have to come out with a new product or a new something, but... you know, Scott and them built these little patio models, and me and Don went up there and looked at them. And he said, no, ain't going to work. We just don't like it, you know. And they didn't really like it either. They were trying to do some little practice cooks, get airflow and stuff down. But, you know, we just said, nah, we'll be able to sell those. We're going to come. So me and Don got together with Tim, and we kind of designed a smoker. And he said, all right, we'll give us a few weeks. We'll try to get a prototype built, and maybe I'll come back up here and check it out and everything. But, you know, like I said, the smokers are built now are going like hotcakes because these people, like I said, the people in Carolina, North Carolina, South Carolina, we're kind of over on this side, especially like the SCBA and the SBN and a couple of these over here. They're kind of locked in a couple little different flavor profiles. They have not branched out like from nationwide flavors, so to speak. that, you know, KCBS brings in to these areas. So they're liking hodgepodge right now. But the people that I've turned on to certain products, mainly yours, have started increasing their scores pretty rapidly. And, you know, and they're enjoying the success. So it makes me feel good that I can say, all right, if you do this, do this, just try it in competition. Try it at home first. Try it in competition. Feel comfortable with it and turn it in. And their scores have really come up. And like I said, with Tanner, the boy that works for me, first competition he ever did, I said, here's the rubs you need. Here's the glazes you need. Go cook it. And the injections, go cook it. And he did. And he whooped all of us. He gave us a good old Southern boy ass whipping, I guess. But but like I said, you know, now he's ready to go. He's in it to win it now. And he's got that killer instinct, so to speak. And but just seeing that on the face, I mean, you know, it's been a long time since you remember your first win and everything, but you do remember it. But just to see other people on their first wins and everything, it's priceless.
Yeah, that's the thing, is just like you're doing, the goodwill gestures to help out the one person, that's all it takes sometimes to help just promote the whole sport.
Well, that's what we do on Barbecue Superstars. You know, everybody says, well, you know, you're such a good guy, you do this, do that. You know, I'm kind of like you, David. You know, when somebody calls Butcher Barbecue place an order, you answer the phone. You don't get a recording. You don't get somebody that can't answer a question. I mean, you're like Johnny on the spot, and even people I sent to you to get orders from, they're like, yeah, he answered the phone. He took your order, told me what I needed to do, and all this other stuff. You can't get that service anywhere. You can't get that kind of quality service anywhere. And, you know, and that makes me feel better that, like, well, look, if they got a question I can't answer, look, here's David's number. It's on the website. Call him. Talk to him about the product. He'll tell you everything you need to know about the product, tell you how to use it. And, you know, then it's up to you to use it in the right fashion. But, you know, everybody's going to, a lot of people are going to kind of tweak it to their, they may not use all water. They may use another liquid in there, add it in there, whatever. But, you know, as you said, you always like to use it with water because that's what you tested it with, and that's where you think you get the best performance. And it's the easiest way to do it, too, because you can't screw it up with just water. But,
yeah,
you know, it's so you get people using it all different ways, which you probably can't count the ways that they're using your injections and stuff. But like I said, any way that I've used it so far has worked really well for me. And like I said, customer service at Butcher Barbecue is second to none. The information second to none. And, you know, like I said, if you haven't tried Butcher Barbecue, you need to. And I also want to give a big congrats to you for making it on Barbecue Pitmasters for the next season. And I know you will represent Butcher Barbecue proud.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And have you got your dates on when you're going to be competing or anything, or your venue? Or
we're not allowed to discuss that.
Oh, okay. Okay. I know I've heard some around here, and I didn't know if they released that where you could do that. And I'm not going to say who did what or whatever, and most of it's probably hearsay anyway, but there will be like 13 episodes, I do know that, and I think a lot of people know that, but we're not going to tell anything more about that. But it looks like it's going to be a really strong field in this year's Barbecue Pitmasters, and, you know, with David included being the World Food Championship Barbecue Champion and having a soft win, soft team in second at the Jack, is that right? First at the World Food Championship?
Reversed. We had it first at the Jack and second at the World Food Championship. Yeah.
Right. I always get that backwards. I don't know why, but I always do.
See,
but
if I'd have just won first at both, it would have been easy.
That's right. So, you know, who knows? You know, what are you slacking off in? I mean, why are you slacking off up here in World Food Championship?
You know, I wish I had that answer.
But this just tells you the consistency of the flavor profile there. Though. Look at the Jack is over in Tennessee. You know, you've got a quagmire of different types of sauces in that area. You know, between vinegar and ketchup and white sauce and all this other stuff. You just got a big whole quagmire of different types of sauces. And if you win first there and then you go all the way over to the other side of the country and win second, I mean, that's a testament of consistency across the country with your product. You know, you have found that middle ground, the holy grail middle ground of, you know, flavor. And that's what, you know, Rob Gray, Johnny Trigg, all of them say, you've got to find that middle ground. The closer you get to that middle ground, the better off you're going to be. And I've heard this several times, I know you have too, is when you do something like that, you don't want to offend anybody, whether it be hot, sweet, salty, or peppery. You know, you don't want to offend anybody. You find that fine line in there, and you stick with it. And I think you've accomplished that fact, that feat, in definitely your barbecue sauce. I've been using it. I used it this past weekend, and Tanner used it this past weekend too. So that just tells you, can see right there between the scores. Like I said, two different cookers. I mean, totally different cookers, two different pit masters, and cooked pretty much the same timeline. But, you know, it just shows the testament of how consistent your products are. David, we've got a caller on the line. It's a 573-670-3226. Who do we have?
Hey, what's going on now, Jim? Can you hear me, Jim?
Hey. Yeah, who's this?
This is Lulu's. I just happened to be driving home. Got about an hour drive, and I figured I'd call in, listen to your show tonight, listen to the butcher.
Well, that's good. I didn't see that you wanted to really talk, but you kept blinking off and on. And I'm like, well, he's either losing signal or something. So
yeah, I was losing signal. I didn't even know I was on the board. I was just kind of sitting back. I never punched in, but I guess they'd already linked me to it. But yeah, I lost service a little bit earlier ago, and I called back in and listened to the show.
But do you see any butcher products yet, or? I know you got selected for barbecue pit masters also, and I want to congratulate you on that too.
Thank you.
Y'all did a really good job. You may be competing against the guy on the other line. You don't know.
Right. I mean, you know, that's what you was talking about while going outside with Butcher. You know, this line of pit masters that's going to be on the show this season, I feel is going to be one of the strongest shows and probably one of the biggest shows that they've ever done. I have a feeling they're fixing to flip some tables around. And this series is going to be different from all the rest of the series. But, you know, when you look at the field, a lot of people don't know actually all who is in the field. A lot of us do know, you know, almost 90% of the teams. But, you know, there are points champions, there are state champions, world champions, American World winners. I mean, they really seeked out some of the best pit masters in America to bring on the show this season. I didn't see any of them being very weak at all. In my eyes. I don't know about you, John.
Well, you know, the thing with me is the only thing that I can be disappointed about with Barbecue Pit Masters is that the 2012 Team of the Year SDN was not on there.
Yeah, I've seen that. I thought you was going to make it. I really did. I watched those videos, and I was like, they're fixing to get selected. And, you know, I kept waiting for names, and I never saw anything posted. So I was like, I don't guess they made it. You know, and the thing is, it's an honor. You know, it kind of humbles me. It is a true honor to be selected for the show because, you know, there's over 6,000 teams in the United States that cook barbecue, and there's probably more than that. That's just on a national circuit. That's not even backyard teams or anybody like that. You know, they only took, I don't know, 27, 30 teams to compete on the show, and I know, you know, there's a lot more achieved cooks out there that are very well equipped to come on the show. And, you know, that's like Tim Seals. He put in a Smelly Butts, which put in an audition. You know, that man has won a lot of stuff. And, you know, he was my pick to come out of Southeast Missouri, and we got picked. So, you know, there's a lot of people, not saying that all the best ones are on there, but I'm saying it's going to be a strong field this year. And there's still an extraordinary amount of great cooks that are out there right now that has not been on the show. And, you know, I say one thing, you know, if next year when they put out the audition tapes, put it back in. You know, this was our third time auditioning for Barbecue Pitmasters to get on the show. And, you know, we just made the luck of the draw is what we did. It's just the luck of the draw really what it's about. But they just want to see you have fun and be personable and, you know, just be yourself. That's what they're wanting. So.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get a lot of different personalities in there. And David to me is kind of laid back and just kind of wide open. And, you know, but that's what makes the show. But also, you know, like I said, they've also really done their homework and really looked at some of the teams. They really had to sit back and look at some teams. What have you done, you know? how would you be recognized and all of those stuff. So you got some pit masters that, you know, really good back in the day.
Yeah, I'm cutting out on you.
It's gonna be a really good mix of the different style of pit masters that you have. And like I said, I think they're gonna find some more to cook in that thing for time. I was just kinda looking forward to this stuff sometimes. David.
I can hear you every other word. That's it.
Okay. You're kind of looking forward to doing this Pitmaster season, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely looking forward to it.
I'm going to put Lulu on hold so you can. We're getting a lot of static from you.
Yeah, go right ahead, buddy. It's raining a little bit.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold for a little while. So David, like I said, I think on Barbecue Pitmaster, they're kind of looking for a big, wide range of personalities and accomplishments and everything in the barbecue world, barbecue community. Of course, they want to put out the best show they can. And, you know, the good thing about it this year is, you know, we didn't get chosen. They sent us an email and everything and told me, you know, it was really tough. And I forgot how many teams applied for it, sent videos in and all that. And, you know, they say if you didn't make the cut this year, put it in next year. You know, they're looking for a whole range of different style teams. And my wife is a little bit disheartened, but I'm like, you know what, there is always next year. And, you know, I've got some competitions I really want to do this year. And, you know, I'll pull my schedule out. But, you know, if we didn't make it, we didn't know where we'd be going from 1 week to the next. At least now we know we didn't get chosen. So we can go ahead and book our competitions that we want to do so it wouldn't, you know, coincide with something like that. But on the other hand, you know, like I said, it's a big honor to be on Barbecue Pitmasters. You get a lot of national exposure. And, you know, we try to, you know, any of my sponsors, anybody that comes on the show, I really push my sponsors more than anybody else that comes on the show. So they support me and Barbecue Pitmaster, I mean, superstars and everything. So, you know, we're just, like I said, we're really blessed to have you as a sponsor. And, you know, we wish all the best luck to you in your venture and everything. And, you know, and of course with your rubs and stuff. I've got some people that you know, I would like to see if we could recap. You know, we did a really good show back in July, and it's the number one show on Barbecue Pitmasters. But I really want to touch on some of your rubs and stuff that you have out, because a lot of people don't know them and don't know, you know, the proper method of using them. You know, I want this to be a very informative show without giving out too much information. But you've got several really good products out there. And I was going to see, you know, tonight if we can kind of if you've got time, if we can go through them, you know, one by one and everybody to get the proper method of using them and, you know, for what meats, you know, and all that, if they need to sit for a while or, you know, give some of the listeners some, because I got a lot of people that want to know, a lot of new customers that want to know, and because they said they're really going to be listening to the show tonight. So I was going to see if you can just go through your products and give them a recap of everything.
Okay, let's start with the injections then. Quick history is the brisket injection was our first product. It's a product that's real close to what we've used in the meat shops here. And when I started competition cooking, I took it with me to the very first contest. I've used it ever since the beginning. I didn't actually put it out on the market for probably about a year, year and a half. But the only difference between that and what we use in the shop is this gets a little thicker, and it has a little more phosphate in it for the type of cooking, because in the shops and everything, we have different types of smokers, so it doesn't have the wood and the carbon burning and all that. It's just an electric-type smoker. I got a couple Southern Prides in the shop. But anyway, we use the beef injection. You just mix it with water, 3/4 cup, 2 cups of water. Just inject it throughout the brisket, concentrate in the flats. You can hit it in the point. And I would suggest using it in the point, especially if you have a choice or select. If you have a prime or a larger, it's generally not needed. You're going to get all the moisture when that fat renders down. But follow a grid poke pattern, like we always talk about, the checkerboard, hit all the red squares. And I'm not ashamed. I go back and I'll use it all up. So go back and fill it up. Plus it like a football. You just can't over-inject. So fill it up. Use it up. We had that product, and the next year we came out with a pork product. It's a pork-flavored product. Really, it brings the pork back to what pork used to be years ago and allows it to have a flavor like it used to be. That is because of the type of pork flavoring we use. It's the same basic pork flavoring we're using with our chicken. The principles of getting that flavor has to do with fats, okay? And that's about all I want to talk about with that. I get too close into trade secrets on how I get my flavors, but it's got to do with just fat, okay? I'm going to leave it at that. So, but the pork, it allows it to bring back pork the way things used to be flavored years ago. Use it in the same way. If you're going to use it in competition with pork butts, injected throughout the whole pork butt, just be careful around what is classified the money muscle, because there are so many little muscles there. You will fill it up and get what we call an injection pocket right in all the connective tissues. And then when you go to shred it or pull it, you'll have a cooked pocket of injection. And it's not real pleasantful to just bite into that. So be careful injecting around what is generally classified the money muscle area. Then we had a product that same year. We came out with Prime Dust. What Prime Dust is the straight beef flavoring, dried beef flavoring that you can add to beef injections. And you can intensify it or detensify it however much you wanted to add. Use it on your own. Sprinkle it on hamburgers. Do whatever you wanted to do. Put it in an au jus. There's many, many different uses for Prime Dust. We had those three products for the better part of probably 4 or 5 years, and everybody kept asking me, well, why don't you just premix it? And finally, last year, we just premixed it to the specification as to what I just described, 3/4 cup injection to 1/4 cup of Prime Dust. That is Prime Injection. That is the proportions of that. So you can use that in your injection and not have to buy the two separate. Right. But we kept the other two because so many people still wanted to their own mix and their own proportions. What was you going to say?
I've had some people that was using that Prime Dust on the meat and not using it as an injection. So that's what I was trying to say, when you're going through the process of how to use it and stuff, it's not really made for that. They were thinking it's made as another rub. And
I've heard of that. I know people that use it and do okay with it. But there, it's more of a surface flavor there. So I would still think putting it in the meat would be the best usage for it. Yeah.
I agree.
We have our different rubs. We have 4 rubs. We have our premium rub, which is the very first rub I ever sold. I used it at my very first contest. I love it. I've used it from the get-go. The only change from whenever I first started using it to what I ended up modeling is about my 4th contest, I kept getting this, I'm not going to say bitter, but this aftertaste, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And it ended up being cumin. I love the flavor of cumin, but I had too much in it, and I took that out, and it went away. I was mostly getting it in my pork. And so when I went to bottle it, I didn't want to put it in at all. So other than that, it's the exact same formula as to what we've used from the beginning. But I love that premium rub, and I still use it today in competitions.
What I love about that rub, too, is when you put it on, everybody's looking for that dark mahogany color. When you put it on, let it sit for a while, and it sweats on the meat and everything, you're halfway to that color. I mean, right then. It's just phenomenal, the type of coloration it puts on the meat.
That actually has to do with oil, believe it or not. It's there again. We're getting into secrets, but it's got to do with paprika oil. Is what that is. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's what that is. We have our honey rub, and that is a great rub. It's been copied by many people. A lot of different places sell it, but that's our number one selling rub. It's just that. It's a honey rub. It's got a little bite to it. It's got sweetness. It's got the honey. And it can go on anything and everything. I prefer it on chicken and ribs. I like it on pork. But to me, pork, with it being such a long, slow cook for me, it renders out so much fat, I lose the rub flavor. So I still like something with a little bit more bite than the sweetness. So I like it on there. It's just that I do prefer other rub for that. We have our hickory seasoned salt, and that all actually came about, three winters back. The wife and I decided to go on a diet. I lost 60 pounds, and we were cooking a lot on the George Foreman grill here in the house. And there just ain't a lot of flavor that comes off that electric grill. So I was tinkering, and we had a seasoned salt, and I had some hickory powder in the back, and I was trying to get like a grill flavor in the middle of the winter, and I came out with, I was actually playing with that, and gosh, I kind of like this. And so I just took it to market. and we have our steak and brisket rub, which the combination of that was all in my head of good Texas brisket. You hear salt, pepper, garlic. Walk away.
Right.
Salt, pepper, garlic. And that is a combination of that. It's a salt, it's got pepper, it's got garlic, it's got celery, it's got some sugar. But the basis all started as salt, pepper, garlic. And that's where that kind of started at. So, and that product is great with brisket. It is great with vegetables. I love it on many, many different things. A couple years ago, I cooked for a fundraiser here at our local town. I cooked seven or eight cases of pork butts, and that's all I put on it was just straight steak and brisket rub. That is a great product on just about anything. So as far as the rubs, the application is easy. What you have to remember is that any rub is a dehydrated product. You have to give it a chance to rehydrate and then soak into the meat. So allowing that to happen, wait a minute. Is Lulu still on the line? Is he listening?
He's still listening. I got him on the thing.
No. Wait a minute. We might be competing against head to head here in a little bit. I think I'm done with this interview. Well, I love you, Lulu, but let's be real now.
I might get him on to rebuttal that.
Bring him back.
He's on. Hey, Lulu, are you on? Wait a minute, I missed him.
I'm listening. I'm absorbing everything right now at this moment.
So basically, you're a sponge behind the wheel.
That's exactly right. It's raining. Storming, and I'm just cruising home, soaking up all this good information the butcher's putting out. I got to cook here in a minute. I think I'm gonna try all this stuff. I got a bunch of stuff in my garage.
Is that right?
I got some good butcher products in my garage that I keep in my stash. So I got some at the house.
That's your go-to box.
They're in my go-to box. I'll tell you that one.
I can tell you this.
Our brisket didn't used to do very well. Well, we started using his injection, and we started placing around 7th, 8th place at 47 teams. So hey, we was happy about that. So,
well, I'll tell you, we had a show. Mike Davis from Audible messaged me in January, and said, what was that schedule show that you had when Dave was talking about his brisket? And I said, Mike, you the brisket man. What you want to listen to that for? He said, you're never too old to learn. He said, if you are, he said, you're going to get beat.
That's like, exactly you know, right.
We can take that show off anytime you want to. But, you know, it just shows you, you know, it is true. You know, you got to always keep on learning or you're going to be stuck in a mud hole somewhere and they're just going to pass right by you and keep on trucking.
You know, that's one thing I noticed around the barbecue world is that, you know, 90% of people that cook, they do what they do, and that's all they're going to do, and they will not change because they feel that's what's great. And, you know, I'm always open to new things and different things. You know, I got my set of what I do every day. But, you know, there's always, you know, the little edges that you got to look for to cut the corners, kind of like NASCAR when they got their cars. They always fine-tune them just a bit right there on the limit just to be able to make it just a little bit better. So, you know, you kind of got to do that to try to get in the winner's circle. So.
Yeah, and you got to keep tweaking too. You know, I do have another caller, David. This is the newest grand champion in barbecue. It's Tanner Knight, the boy that took my one and only Killer Bee barbecue class. He's on the other line right now. So, Tanner, you got anything to say, buddy?
Thank you, man. Dave, you got a great caller.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It worked great. I love it. I actually got home to try to do a little test run on the pork loin and didn't have quite enough. It turned out good, but not the way it could have been. But really, enjoyed this weekend. It was great. I love your products. And thank you, Jim, for showing me everything.
Well, like David says, you know, we're always out to promote the barbecue and trying to get some new teams. You know, a lot of backyard teams need a little direction and stuff. And, you know, we did a little class up the shop, and David's like, well, how much did you have invested in that little thing? And he comes up and whips your ass. I said, well, I'm going to take a commitment from my other barbecue buddies, but I look at them and say, hey, he beat your ass too.
It was a team. You told me to win backyard, so I was just trying to make it a team effort. I didn't try to beat you. I was just trying to win the backyard.
It don't matter, man. You try to go for the fence when you're doing that. You don't hold nothing back. You ask these guys, we're losing David. You know, you're friends, but you're competing against them. And, you know, the way they do that, I mean, it's good that it shows where you stand against the pros and everything. And even some, you know, Brad called me up and said, you know, when are you going to give me a class? You know, and all this other stuff. So, you know, it makes me feel good because you actually listened to what I had to say and you actually put it into practice in your own realm. And even though you look like a wet, tired mutt when you got done, you know, you could see the satisfaction on your face, especially when you got that first call. And then when you got your next first place call, you're like, damn. I won this thing.
It was great. I tried to go to sleep, but I was too scared something would go wrong, and I had to get up and go sit by the smoker. I wanted to make sure everything was spot on.
David's motto is trust your butcher. So. So, but, you know, several teams had to use this product. And like I was telling David, you know, we cooked on two totally different smokers, two totally different pit masters. And, you know, to be that consistent in the field is just testament to the products that he has out there to offer. And,
I wish it would be a secret.
Well, I've got to keep that chicken booster a secret, but that's long gone now.
I love the premium. That's some great stuff.
Well, thank you. And
the season and everything. I mean, it's just there.
Well, cool. Glad to hear it. Glad it works for you. Buy it in 35-pound bulk boxes. I appreciate that. Whatever you want to call it, I'll call it that and put your name on it.
It's all about the product, right, David?
That's right.
Well, hopefully your sales will go up after this radio show because, like I said, it's I've got a couple other people ask me what I did. I tell them the products I use. I said, I'm not telling you, you know, my exact technique or anything, but, you know, I think you're going to be getting some orders from South Carolina coming up. I know I've got several people next contest I go to. They're going to pick up some stuff, and then my next SPN in Columbia, I got a few of my South Carolina buddies going to meet me at the trailer, and I don't know if he'll whip my ass and buy products, but we'll see how that goes. But I know Lulu's, you've heard of him, and I know you used his products before. I don't know too many people that don't know Butcher Barbecue products. I know a lot of people don't use them, but, you know, if you're not using them, you need to at least give it a try and see how it can work out for you, because, like I said, it works for me. And to take a backyard team to his first contest and just to wipe the field, I'm talking about pros and backyards, it's just testament to the product and the quality of it. And so, Lulu's, where's your next contest at?
Right now, I really don't have anything set in stone. I've got a lot of catering jobs that I've got booked all the way up into June, and then the Pitmaster stuff, I'm kind of working around everything. So if we get to do a contest, it's probably going to be somewhere after June, or maybe it's a close one. But right now, our competition schedule is not at the top of our RAM right now. It's kind of just in the catering business. Our catering schedule is really full, and just going to keep making the money. And if we get some time off, we're going to hit a contest or two. But, I mean, it just don't really look like we got a lot that we're going to be able to go to this year. And it's kind of, you know, we did, I think, 7 or 8 last year. But this year, I don't know how many we're going to be able to do at all.
That's a good problem to have, to be too busy and you know, in doing catering and stuff, to be out there competing. And I know a couple other teams, a few other teams that will cater and miss contests here and there. But it's happened to us before. And but, you know, that's guaranteed money. You cannot turn that down.
Yeah, that's what I always tell everybody. I always take it guaranteed money over anything else. So, you know, I got people wanting catering in May. I was wanting to go to Memphis in May down there to cook with Hank Vaden and a couple other different contests. But, I mean, just the way the schedule's really gone to us this year, our catering is so full, I just can't really do a whole lot. And I'll take that guaranteed money any day of the week, other than unless I was Butcher, you know, winning all these contests. I'd probably have to go to the contest. But,
oh,
you
my
know,
God. You're
you know.
Killing me.
I'm putting a mark on your back.
That's right.
Bullseye. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why when David shows up, all right, he's going for second.
No,
which,
I know.
And the Pitmasters thing, you know, I know all the rounds are on there, and it spans about 3 to 4 months of contest if you make it out of each round. So, you know, kind of scheduling things in and around that. So I know Butcher, he's looking forward to that and different things. So, you know, it's a big schedule to try to complete. So let's see what happens.
Well, I'm glad to see a lot of people that I know made it this year. And, you know, Rob comes on the show a few times, and few of the other teams, you know, Rescue First has been on here, and Robbie's a good friend of mine, and, you know, I consider y'all friends of mine, even though we hadn't met in person, but just talk to y'all on the phone, and, you know, seeing y'all out in your videos and on the web and stuff, it's, you know, it's really good to see y'all, and, you know, one day we'll meet up and, you know, hang out and drink a beer or something, or sit around and do a potluck dinner or something, you know, one of these contests.
Yeah, that sounds good. You know, another thing about Pitmasters I noticed about this year, what you was talking about, you know, a lot of people, is that they've pulled from all over the United States. It hasn't been like one secluded area. They've pulled from the south, the west, the east, the north. I mean, they've really covered the United States very well in that category, to where everybody knows a lot of people. It's not, you know, where it's kind of secluded, where, you know, they know a few of them that's going to be on there. It seems like everybody really knows everybody or talk to them. I know I was talking to the woman, and I was like, yeah, I said, I know almost everybody that's on the show. I said, 90% of them has been on the radio show. So, you know,
yeah.
that was a little crazy. But I'm trying to get on somebody's radio show. Maybe I can talk.
Well, the thing is, you know, there's a team from Washington State. And, I mean, like I said, I think Pitmasters really did their homework this year, and they got some good quality teams on there. And, you know, you got David. I mean, he's winning every damn thing, and Rex winning every damn thing. Super winning everything. It's just a testament of what everything's going on. And you know, like I said, they did the homework and they did the research and everything. And, you know, like I said, we didn't make it, but it was always next year. And who knows, maybe next year I'll get paying out.
Now, is that your first time you auditioned, Jim?
We sent a small audition tape for the fall one that they had. So we do own a restaurant here in Augusta, and it would have been nice to get on there, but I didn't really put a whole lot of effort into it because it's kind of a spur of the moment type thing. And but you know, this one we really, you know, tried to do a little bit different, and you know, put my wife on there and all that too, and kind of sit out there with our trophies and our trailer and our smokers and stuff, and you know, kind of build ourselves up to where, you know, we were, you know, a good quality team. We do have good personalities. Our personalities complement one another, and you know, we can talk fast and all that just as good as the best. The other ones, you can ask Tanner that. We give each other hell at work. So, you know, but, you know, when you're sitting in front of the camera, it's just you two, you know, it's kind of a little different. And, you know, then being around a bunch of your friends and stuff, cutting up or having a good time or whatever. So,
right. You know, that's like us when we shot one last year. You know, we just kind of did, you know, what we thought they wanted. And then this year, we almost didn't even shoot one. We did, it was snowing, sleeting, raining. My woman was caught up on ice, and she didn't get home until about 7 o'clock. And I'm messing with lights. And I thought, I'm done with it. I ain't even messing with it. And she told me, she said, no, you're shooting it. And I said, no, I don't mess with it. She said, you're shooting it. And I said, well, hit record then. And, you know, what you saw in the video, that's me and my brother to a T. You know, we're twins. We're around each other every day. And that's how we hang 24/7. So, you know, we're just kind of nuts and in between. But, you know, I guess that's what they liked about us.
So the two of y'all. Damn it.
Yeah, there's two of us. Yeah, amazingly enough. A lot of people don't know that.
Well, I knew y'all were brothers, but I didn't know y'all were twins, but y'all are both crazy, so that I'm just surprised you made it to the age you were. You didn't kill one another growing up.
Hey, there's been a lot of close calls. There's been a lot of close calls, but, you know, we've made it, so we'll see what happens. You never know. We might get out there and fist fight on the show. You never see, you never know what's going to happen.
They got to take out UFC on Barbecue Pitmaster.
Yeah, they say you always got to do it. It was always that one thing everybody remembers you by. I said, hell, ain't no telling what's going to happen. Everybody remember us by.
Like I said, Tanner, this was his first grand. I wish a lot of other people there to see you win it and stuff and enjoy that. But, you know, these guys know when they won their first grand. You never forget it. And hopefully we can keep the backyard and got in this year, October. And then I'll go up there with you if I can't make it. But how was it? I'm gonna turn you down a little bit over here.
Yeah, you're fine. I'm going to put myself on mute. I'm just going to listen the rest of the show because I'm fixing to finish at the last leg of my journey here. It's been good talking to all of y'all, and look forward to seeing you, Butcher. I'm going to use your tricks against you.
All right,
enjoy.
Have a good
night. Yep.
So Tanner, so let's go through. I know David's lived through it and everything. Let's go through what was going on through your mind when you were doing this cook, because you know you're coming out. I mean, you had some experience cooking barbecue, and I knew if I told you something, you would do it. And but you know, I know you had some insecurities, you know, doing some of this stuff in competition. How tough was it mentally and physically to cook a competition? Because a lot of these people out there want to know, you know, they think you just go out there and cook barbecue and that's it.
Well, I guess my main thing was after I made it to, I guess, about 6 o'clock Saturday morning and all my times were meeting the temperatures, I started relaxing a little bit. But I believe from about 8 o'clock Friday night to about 6 o'clock Saturday morning, it just drug by. And at that point, I was trying to get my prep in my mind, what I was going to do, go through my steps. And I know I probably asked you probably 300 times, you know, am I doing this step right? Am I going to be here at this time? And I didn't want to overlook anything. But I'll tell you what, when 9 o'clock hit, that's the fastest 4 hours of my life. when it was just turn in. It was there. And I felt really comfortable on the ribs. My port, it amazed me that I even got a call in the port. But, you know, with the injection and really, honestly, I believe the premium rub was, and also the Memphis, the color was beautiful. I mean, it was one of the most beautiful pieces of meat that I've ever cooked. But I just, who knew? And I didn't really know how to judge myself against everybody else. And once I made that turn in, I was focused on the presentation, and I was really happy on the way everything looked. But after the turn ins and my son started going around, as you know, getting everybody's sample, I'm telling you, I believe the little kid probably gained 10 pounds Saturday. But he started bringing samples back, and I'm like, okay, you know, I might have these guys beat, and I got these guys beat, and you know, maybe I'm working my way up. And then we get there at 10 till 4, and it's going to be another 20 minutes to turn into another hour. Now, that was the longest hour that I've ever had to wait.
I thought you were going to fall asleep on your feet there for a little bit.
I might have. I believe that is the tiredest I've ever been in my life. But I just, every time that I did go to try to get some rest, my eyes would get a little heavy, and I'd wake up, what temperature's my meat at? You know, so finally I just said, the heck with it. I'm going to babysit it. I'm going to watch it, make sure nothing goes out. You know, there were a few intoxicated people around, so I kind of wanted to make sure my stuff was safe. And I had a blast, and like I've told you, you know, I love cooking on a stick burner, and that has always been my biggest part of cooking growing up, was making sure the coals were there, making sure we had the fire right. Like, man, you know, this stuff kind of takes away from the barbecue, and there I was doing the same thing. I was just babysitting it all night long, and I really enjoyed it. Now I think if the next time we go back, I want to set up early and try and take a nap before they even hand out meat. But maybe I can get 5-Hour Energy to sponsor me. But, I felt like all my marks were hit right, and the times were there.
Obviously, they were. So, David, you got any advice for a newbie, David?
Say that again, Jim.
You got any advice for a newbie?
Practice. What I always tell anybody that's new is that they're going to go to the contest, set completely up out in their driveway. Just set up. Do your tables, do everything, start cooking. Oh, I got to run back in the house for a roll of paper towels. Write it down. I need paper towels. Anything you go back into your house for, put it on your list. And then when you're done, as you're packing and putting stuff back away, I didn't use that. Don't take it with you. You don't need to take 32 different kinds of spatulas, 13 different kinds of tongs. Take what you use. Don't take what you don't use.
Two rubs. Yep. Couple of sauces and I'm good to go. No, you're exactly right. And I think I could put my wife on the phone and she'll tell you that she's tired of me practicing. She's ate so much pork in the last 6 months, she doesn't even want to smell it. But and I think Jim can tell you the same thing, but I've been practicing on an offset and I've kind of gotten the flavor down, but it's just a big difference between that offset, the weather conditions, what's going to happen here. But you're absolutely right. I mean, that last week, the pen and the paper were my biggest allies. I mean, everything that Jim had told me, it was right there for me to look at. Everything that I've come up with over the past few months, it was there. And that helped me more than anything.
And really the only other thing, and you've already contested to this, and this is what I tell folks, is what you do at a cook-off, the first 15 hours is important. But what you do the last, say, 15 minutes to the last 2 hours at a cook-off is more important than what you did the first 15 hours. And knowing what to do, when to do, how to do, it just takes time. I like to classify barbecue cook-offs as it's circumstantial. The more circumstances you've been in, the more you know what to do.
Right. And that's, I guess the most fun I had all weekend was my 9-year-old and my 13-year-old. They played baseball religiously. And my wife and I never missed a game. Well, this weekend was my 13-year-old's opening weekend. There was a big tournament in Statesboro. He's starting pitching. I wasn't there. Well, when I got home and he found out I won, I think he was more upset that he wasn't there with me as I was, that I wasn't with him. But the 9-year-old, I mean, he was my shadow. He was my third hand. And he was just so involved with it. He wants to go back. I mean, when are we going to do another one? Are they going to have the kids' queue out there we're talking about? I want to do this. I want to do that. What's this for? It was just seeing him where I was at my, when I was his age, growing up with my grandparents cooking and my father and uncles, and it was just the satisfaction of knowing, well, you know, he's got the interest. Let's go. You know, that's the camaraderie. It was excellent. Met some great people. I love it. I'm hooked.
And that's another key to it is the people that you meet out on the circuit. You know, you got to admit, especially the pros. You know, all those guys are nice. They're kind of setting their ways. You know, they're not the big. Most of them are not the big partiers and stuff because they're there. You know, to win. But, you know, they're still your friends and stuff. Meet new ones every week, week in and week out. And, you know, and that's a big part of the reason why me and Jan go out and do these things. We've got a lot of friends now over the last 2 years. And, you know, we love to meet some new ones. And, but, you know, it's satisfaction to me and probably David, too, because me kind of give you lessons on how to cook, but using his products, it's a great satisfaction when somebody achieves a goal like what you did this past weekend, because it doesn't happen very often. And, you know, the first time barbecue cook. But, you know, you had some adversities over there, and, you know, I kept telling you that you're always going to have some, and it's how you power through them. You know, don't get flustered. There's a lot to do, a lot to learn on your first competition. It'll start coming more naturally. You'll do it in your sleep before too long. But, you know, it's how you rectify those situations that you get into. And that's what determines, you know, how your outcome is, how good of a cook you are, is coming over the adversities that you have. And I know every team's been through so many of them. The more contests you do, the more you're going to have.
And it was funny. Each time I put a meat on, something happened. And I believe we were delayed. Friday night was just not a good night. I mean, it started off when we were going to the grocery store, ran over the power box. That set me back. So I'm like, well, we don't need to go to the grocery store. And they put my meat on in 25 minutes. Go put the meat on. We were going to leave, I think, at 8 o'clock. We finally left to go to the grocery store at 11. And here I am sweating. Okay, I'm an hour and a half behind on my meat. What am I going to do here? Then put the ribs on, and the same exact thing happened. I think the Memphis had a mind, and it was just wanting to play with it. So it came through and did its job, but it had me nervous. And I think that's really what made me stay up all night. I just, what would have happened if I fell asleep and the thing had done it again? I'd have just, you know, I'd have been DQ'd. And I wasn't going to let that happen.
Well, like I said, you know, like David said, you get your schedule set and you try to live by it. So, you know, not that David's the same way. You know, a lot of people get their stuff set up like Brad's stuff, and they're hot and fast. They'll go and, you know, get their stuff set up to go to the hotel room and come back, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, like to grill up and go. I'm more of a low slope kind of guy, so I get my meat on a little earlier, which is what, you know, you kind of are, and I think David is too. But it's one of them things where you set your schedule up and everything to fit your needs, and you try to keep to that schedule, you're still going to have some downtime in between certain products or certain processes. But, you know, that's why you've got to get your, like David said, and the best thing to do is, like, on a Friday night, go ahead and schedule, you know, all right, you go ahead and set up your station, you know, Thursday night or whatever. Get off work, go there. Like, this is what I've got to do at this time. This is what I've got to do at that time. And do a practice run at competition style timing. And that's the only way to really practice this stuff. You know, you don't have to use four butts or two butts or whatever. Just put your butt on and do one rack of ribs and do your brisket or whatever. You know, brisket and chicken's a whole, two other whole animals that we hadn't gone over. But, you know, they're coming.
Well, that's the thing I love. I'm not satisfied if I'm just doing the few things that I know. If I'm not learning something new, then I'm not happy with myself. And that's from my cooking 6 months ago till today is just totally different. And it's not the way that I was brought up, even though I do love how we cooked it coming up, but it's just totally different. And I even asked you last week, okay, what's the pros and cons? I don't think I worded it this way, but, you know, hot to fast or low and slow, you know, and you told me you low and slow, you've got a little more giveaway. Well, if I'd have been a hot and fast, I'd have been screwed on my butt. And
yeah, and that's, you know, and I think in my opinion, David, you can chime in anytime. I think when you get into this, you know, I'm thinking you almost have to try low and slow first and get it down. And then I think hot and fast is a whole different art and a whole different technique. You know, I don't think it's something that I would consider a beginner trying because there is a smaller margin of error. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at saying that. I can cook hot and fast. I can cook low and slow. People think I'm a pellet cooker born and bred. No, I'm a pellet cooker because of the consistency in it. I like the product that comes off of it. I like the flavors that I get off of it, low and slow. Can I cook hot and fast? Yeah, absolutely. Can I cook with sticks? Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to go to a contest sometime and someone say, okay, rotate. Let's trade cookers. If you're a pellet cooker, go to a wood cooker. If you're a wood cooker, go to a pellet cooker. I promise you, I'm going to cook just fine with that. I started with those, just like most all pellet cookers have. That's not a problem. I can cook on them. Do I prefer to cook on them? No. Are they consistent? No. Are they good? Absolutely, they're good. It's just that's not my style in competition. So I'd love to go to a contest, and you have to cook on what you don't normally cook on. I guarantee you that a gentleman that doesn't cook on a pellet cooker don't know how to get the flavor out of a pellet cooker. And that takes as much art as it does anything else. So, yeah, I'd say start low and slow and go from there.
Yeah, see, I've cooked on an offset smoker, a stick burner. I've cooked on green eggs, done very well. I've cooked on, I'm cooking on a gravity-fed charcoal system and a pellet system right now. So I consider myself pretty well-rounded as far as the different types of cookers that you can cook on. And, you know, I'll put it to you this way, David. We had a green egg contest, and I don't know if you own one or whatever, but you know, we were trying to look for something different that nobody else would cook. And I think we exceeded the expectation of what you can cook on a green egg this past weekend. And I'll tell you what we did, and people can try this. It's pretty phenomenal. And I know Tanner was over there. His little boy kept coming over and eating all of our samples and stuff.
That's pretty good. 8 of the 10 pounds, probably.
Yeah. We were going to cook donuts on the green egg. And when I talked to my wife, I said, what do you need for the donuts? You tell me what you need, and I'll try to make it happen. because I've got two green. I had three green A's, got rid of one of them because I competed on them all last year, not as fast year, the year before. And I've done just about anything you can cook on a green egg, but I have not fried on a green egg. So I took a cast iron skillet. I took my plate setter. For those people that have a big green egg, it's what you got to have to smoke with. I flipped it upside down, inverted it, and made it like a burner. And I put my charcoal in there. I didn't put enough charcoal to cook as many as she did because she fed well over 200 people, you know, a bite. And we made donuts. And people can take this recipe. We made donuts with canned biscuits, the Grand Biscuit Pillsbury biscuits. And we cut them out with a donut cutter and a little hole and everything. And we fried them in oil on that green egg. And my wife never even thought about using a green egg for anything. But I was down serving the pork because in SBM, after we get done competing, we serve our food to the public. And, you know, that's how they make gate fees and stuff because the different people can go around and taste different chefs' pork and ribs or whatever they have. Well, I was down there serving that. She had a line of like 30 people. And she was actually, I told her, I said, if you want to cool it off, leave the lid open. If you need to get it hot, shut the lid, open the vents up, and it'll get hot. She was working that thing for a good, hour and a half, 2 hours like that?
Decent.
And was putting out donut after donut after donut. And we had a line of 30, 40 people at any given moment. And we did not win. But
I couldn't believe it. They were great.
That was the originality of the green egg. I mean, that just shows you the versatility of a green egg, you know. And, you know, like you said, you've got a pellet cooker. You can cook on just about anything you can. And I think Rod Gray put something out there. Said, all right, let's get a contest together, you know, a solo team, you know, pitmaster to pitmaster, and cook on something that, you know, just go to a straight stick burner, non-insulated or whatever, just – somebody pick a smoker and go and see who does what. And, you know, and the well-rounded pit masters are going to win because they're, you know, like I said, they're well-rounded. I did also see Rod Gray last year got a green egg for his birthday, I think, and he also had a box on Facebook not too long ago. It looked like a gravity-fed smoker. I don't know what brand, but that's what it looked like to me. And, you know, Rod was really big. He cooked on pellet smokers for a long time and won a lot of grams and switched over to a Jambo. So you look at Rod right there, he's already got the pellet, the stick burner, the green egg, and the gravity smoker probably down by now, knowing him. So, you know, he's more well-rounded for that too. But, you know, but in my opinion too, you got to start off with a really good product, whether it be the meat, the rubs, the injections, whatever. You know, without those, you're not going to be consistent. You're not going to consistently win. And I'm like a lot of teams out there, if I can't win, I can't play, you know?
Yep.
But Tanny, you got just some insight on what you need to do to practice. You got some time before your next one. So, you know, it's a shame you won't have the pellet grill down there. But
I use it a lot.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready. Yeah. And the funny thing is, you know, we walked in the door this evening and go talk to the wife, and she hands me a stack of papers. She said, "Here, look at this." And I'm like, "What is it?" I said, "I don't have all. I'm gonna call and talk to Jim on the show." And she's already printed out, I think, South Carolina Barbecue Association, Georgia, SBN. She's like, "Well, let's go through these and see what you want to do." I'm like, okay, so you're on board. We're ready. It's been a passion of mine for a long, long time, and for us to go out and do that way this weekend, I really hope it wasn't a fluke, but I had a great teacher and a great product. We're looking forward to it. I mean, I think my wife is more happy that I can go cook pork and she doesn't have to eat it, that somebody else has to eat it, and then we can go home and not have to worry about it. So,
and cook something else.
Thank you for getting me into it. That's a blessing. I'm very thankful. So. and I know David will back me up on this. You know, a lot of people get, and I've had a couple of my friends, one in particular this year that really hit rock bottom in that aspect was, you know, just don't get too blindsided by, you know, the everybody likes the thrill of the kill, so to speak, and they like the thrill of the win, or, you know, everybody loves to get a call. But, you know, and sometimes it's tough, especially for new teams, to kind of keep it all in perspective and don't go broke doing this stuff. You know, with me being around, will help you kind of keep the reins back a little bit, because, you know, when you do something like this, and it was a really phenomenal feat that you did, you know, you're ready to conquer the world, but you really kind of need to ease into it and savor it and enjoy it and not get all caught up in it. You got any advice as far as that, David? Or
no, I think you're right where you need to be, dude. Take it low and slow, just like you're cooking. Gosh, you know, it's you always like to see new folks get in it because it's a nutrition thing. Just as many people get out as get in. Growth is part of this sport. We're on a high, I think. I don't think it's on a down. So, man, just go and enjoy it and get out of it when you quit enjoying it. That's about the best answer. When you quit enjoying it, get out.
Yeah, when it becomes too much like your job that you work for me, then it's time to get the hell out of it.
That's right. That's right.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it gets to the point where it's really, truthfully, it's a lot of work, but it's a labor of love. And it's like, you know, sometimes you don't ever work that hard for no results, but you still take away the memories. That's something people can't take away from you. And, you know, friendships that you get along the way. And, you know, just the knowledge and advice you get from a lot of these different pit masters and the camaraderie everybody has. And it truly is. It's a sport of friends, really and truthfully, because I really don't know anybody that's really bad and all this other stuff, hadn't met anybody. Yeah, everybody you go up and talk to is nice. You know, this is about the only sport where you can, you know, have friends and still compete against them. You know,
weekend. That's my luck. I mean, it's not a I don't know. It's we go to a baseball tournament, and the other teams really don't want to speak. You know, and that was one of the best things that as we were setting up, we were meeting people and they were coming in and hey man, how you doing? Is this your first time? You've been doing this a while, and you know, it was that's what I loved about it. I mean, it's just everybody's there, but everybody's there to beat you. But you know, let's have a good time while we're doing it and. Shake hands, and it's all done.
Jim, I need to step off for a little while, so I'm the rope.
We appreciate you being on, David, and thanks for introducing the new products and everything. And I'll get with you tomorrow. I got to place me in order so I can have some of this stuff at the competitions and stuff. But like I said, take off when you need to, David, any shout-outs. And I do know there's a lot of teams that want you to have a class over this way, so think about it next year. You know, if you got some free time, we can find a place. And, I mean, I'm not talking one or two teams. I'm talking 20, 25 teams right off the bat that I know of that really would love to take your class. So think about it for a year and let me know.
All right, man. I will. I appreciate it. And thanks for bringing me on, okay?
All right. Thanks, David. And I appreciate you sponsoring me.
You bet, Jim. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Mm-hmm.
So that's David Busca from Butcher Barbecue. Puts out quality products and everything. I can't say enough about him and his products and everything. It's been a whirlwind. Tanner, a student of mine, so to speak, he'll attest to the quality of the products and everything coming firsthand. But you know, another thing too, Tanner, about these contests and stuff is these guys. When you start friending some of them on Facebook and stuff, and you start keeping up with some of the teams in the area, you'll get a post saying, "Oh, I got a flat tire making. Anybody know of anybody I can call?" Next thing you know, there's three barbecue guys out there with you know same tire and everything. Just bring it back to the next contest we cook against each other or something. I mean, it's phenomenal. These guys come out of the woodwork to help another team, and you know, there's the Operation Barbecue Release (OBR).
which goes a lot of teams go and they feed the first responders and the ones that are homeless or haven't had a hot meal in so many days or whatever. They go into the ravaged areas and set up a barbecue camp where they can come get a hot meal and all that stuff. That's a really great organization. They fed over 125,000 meals when Sandy hit up there in New York, New Jersey, and all up in that area. In a two-week span, they served it in snow, sleet, ice. They kept rocking and rolling. And the last time they set up was in, Ackworth, Georgia, out there by Lake Altoona. Had a twister come through there. Gary said they fed, I don't know how many thousand of first responders and stuff, and plus some people that didn't have power and food or water or anything. So really great organization. We're going to be going to do some of that sometime in the near future when we can, you know, get out from work and go and help them. But that just shows you the kind of people that's in barbecue. And that's one reason why we really love doing it. We've got some really good friends. I've probably heard from 10 to 12 friends either from yesterday or today, you know, just sitting around BSing and having a good time, reminiscing, getting ready to see each other, you know, at these next barbecue contests. And I know exactly how you feel, because I did my Boss Hog one. I'm ready to, you know, I want to pump some of these out. But, you know, you've got a real good shot at making a jack in the backyard, and that's a goal you need to kind of set. And stay in the backyard, enjoy it for a year, and then, you know, we'll get you to go pro, because it's a whole different animal.
I'm ready to see both ends of it. I mean, I know every competition is not going to happen like this past weekend, but, you know, I'm here to learn, so I'm kind of ready to see what happens. And you're right. I mean, you know, anytime you go win something, you're ready to jump right into it. But
right,
we want to do it right, but it also gives us something to get the family involved. I guess seeing how everybody treated Logan, you know, I didn't really see that many little kids out there, but everybody was as nice as they could be to him. He felt welcome. You know, a lot of people were coming by calling him by his name. That was really special.
Well, that's the way, you know, all these teams do it. You know, they welcome everybody in. And, you know, I had several people come up and, you know, they knew me. I didn't really know them. And, you know, just struck up conversation and everything and, you know, talking to them and stuff. And it's pretty unique how diverse the people are, what they do in their real life and all this other stuff. But, they still come out here and do this. You know, the diversity of the cookers that are out there, the smokers and stuff, and you know, the quality of food that comes off of these things. So, you know, like I said, it's like just having an extended family out there, and, you know, they're going to welcome you with open arms and your family. There's several competitions out there with much bigger fields that have a lot of kids out there playing and stuff, and, you know, and that's where the family interaction gets into. You know, the wives are sitting there and talk, the men are sitting there and bullshit, and, you know, everybody's happy. So, you know, when you start staying over, like on Saturday nights, you get there on Thursday nights and stuff, then, you know, that's when you really get to meet people one-on-one. And, you know, everybody's got, like, different timelines and everything. So, but they're going to welcome you. I know every community, barbecue community out there in the nation will welcome anybody to come in. If you want to try it, give it a shot. Several teams out there will help you, just like I did with Tanner. But there's other teams that if you're struggling with something, you can ask them. It doesn't matter how big a name the team is. Rod Gray actually helped me out in one of my competitions, and he was actually the team of the year that year. And he gave me some pointers that got me going in the right direction, and I ended up taking his class. But you know, he helped me. He didn't want nothing in return. He said, somebody help me. He said, I didn't get into this all on my own. So he said, you know, I'm passing it on. And that's the kind of people you got to meet out there in the thing. And, you know, I appreciate you calling in and giving everybody your experience and stuff. Hopefully we'll get some new callers in that'll tell us their first experience of winning the grand or backyard teams. We welcome any teams on this show, and, you know, it's a big diversified show. So, but anyway, any shout-outs you want to give?
Not really. Just thank you. And we look forward to doing it. Like I said, we had a great time. It's just, I think the biggest thing is I know I needed some help, but I'm also glad I didn't really have the help to make sure everything that I was doing, I did it. I guess that's one of the biggest rewards I got. I mean, you helped, but the hands-on experience of, okay, here, give it to somebody else, let this person prep the box or cut the meat or whatever.
Yeah.
I was had to take it through all the steps to
well,
make sure.
One thing I want to do is I just wanted to give you the tools to succeed, and it was up to you to do the rest. And, you know, with your passion of barbecue and everything, and a lot of people like you out there with this passion, you can take it and run with it as much as you want to, or much as you can. But, you know, when you have certain timelines or certain things to do, you know, biggest thing is don't procrastinate. Go ahead and take care of the matter at hand, and it'll go smoother. So if you do have some adversity down the way, you've got some time to figure it out or rectify it. And so that's a big thing. And, I mean, I know you had some adversity this weekend, and you powered through it. You weren't flustered. You weren't this. I mean, it wore you out. But it's a great accomplishment when you get done. It's like, man, that was a lot of work. But you know what? I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And
you got to sample some great food, too. I mean, there were some good cooks there. It was neat to set up and how everybody else did things. But.
Yep, and you're coming to your own on how you want your booth set up and what works for you and all that. And, you know, it just comes with some time and some practice. And, you know, I'm glad you did what you did. Congratulations again on that. And we also want to thank, you know, Royal Oak for the charcoal that I used and for Greg McCauley from Fireside for giving us the pellets that you used. You know, we all have these sponsors and stuff, and we really like to push them on the show and everything and kind of help them out because they're helping us out. So, Tanner, I'll bid you good night, and I'll see you tomorrow morning. And not too bright and early, but, you know, I'll see you in the morning.
Well, I enjoyed it. Have a good night.
Glad you could be on the show.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. So that's the end of the Killer Bees Monday night SBN Team of the Year Blog Talk Radio Show here on Barbecue Superstars. You can always archive this, listen to it later. We had a great show tonight with David. We had Lulu's on here, had a previous champion in the backyard call in, and of course us. But anyway, just want to thank you for listening in. And like I said, you really got to try Butcher Barbecue products. Try some Royal Oak Lump Charcoal. Go to Fireside, pick up any rubs you need or injections or whatever. Charcoal, grills, the whole nine yards down there. He carries competition quality, everything down there. Very few stores do that. I also want to thank Phoenix Printing for doing all my print work on my hats, my shirts, my trailer, everything we've got going on. Joey's Johnny on the spot, so to speak. Also like to thank Jeff Campbell, who took reserve grand this weekend at the SBN event. For his support and everything and using his products. We appreciate him. And also one of my big sponsors, Southern Q Smokers, for producing some real high-quality smokers. Several teams love it. They're jealous of us, and we're going to be pumping them things out. And I want to thank Scott from Cuban Stew and the Brewing and Tim Thomas from TNT Smokers for allowing us to be part of their team. So we'll bid you good night, and we'll see you next weekend, next Monday at the same time. Y'all have a safe week.